Alexa, does God still heal?
I don't know that one. I can't do explanations yet.
Well, good morning, Active Church. How's everyone feeling this morning? Are you ready? Hey, my name is Josh, and I'm on the serve team here at Active, and I'm pumped to bring the message this morning. Look, I may be a little biased, but there is no other pastor. There's no other pastor that I'd rather sit under and serve alongside of than Pastor Adam and his wife, Stacy. Can we give it up for them? Love you guys. More than that, there is no church, come on now, there is no church that I'd rather call home than Active Church. Come on, let's give it up for what God is doing. Thank you, Luke. Luke, you're going to have to energize this crowd, bro. I remember growing up and, playing baseball or playing basketball, you always start by picking teams, right? And I'd always try to be the captain because I wanted to pick my own team. But if I wasn't the captain, I remember like praying, like, God, please let me get picked on the good team. Like, I want to be on the cool team. I want to be on the team that's winning. And that is the team that we're on here at Active Church. And the best is yet to come. Luke, can I get some cheer for that? All right. Listen, we are wrapping up our series, You Asked for It. Today, we sent out a survey. Several of you responded with tough questions, and we've been breaking them down the past few weeks and really looking at them from a biblical perspective. And today is our last week. And the question that we are tackling today is simply, what do you do in difficult seasons? What do you do in hard times? Seasons come and seasons go. And if you're in a good season right now, enjoy it, because it's probably going to change and you'll experience some difficult times in life. And so we're going to tackle that subject today. What do you do when life is tough? Has anyone ever had a bad day? Bad week? You're like, this is a bad year, right? What do you do in bad seasons? I read an article of a man that there was a forest fire here in California, actually, and they found him as they were doing the cleanup of the forest fire. They found a man that had passed away in the middle, literally in the middle of the forest, and it made the news because the man that they found was in a complete wetsuit. And he had a scuba tank on his back. He had flippers on his feet and a mask on his face. And they're like, how did this scuba diver like end up in the middle of a forest fire? And so they started investigating the death. And the autopsy actually showed that he died of blunt force trauma, not from the fire. And they're like, what happened here? And so as they were investigating it, they realized that to fight the fire, they dispatched a fleet of helicopters, and the helicopters had a big, deep bucket that they would go to the near ocean that was just a few miles away from the scene of the fire, and the helicopters would empty the bucket into the water, scoop it up, and they'd fly back to the forest fire, dump the water to fight the fire. Yeah, you're catching on. The guy was just scuba diving, minding his own business, when the bucket scooped him up, flew him over to the fire. Talk about a bad day. Has anyone ever had a bad day? Not that bad. We're talking bad days. What do you do? What do you do when you're having a bad season? When Pastor Adam gave me this topic to tackle today, I got to be honest with you, I was struggling with how to answer it. I was struggling on what I was going to talk about. We're in church. I could hit it from the religious angle, and I could stand up here and tell you, listen, church, no matter what you're going through, just let go and let God. Someone say amen. I remember when I was dating Sylvia, I took her snowboarding, and we got on the lift and was headed up the mountain, and she started to freak out. And actually, I started to freak out a little bit too, because I got on the wrong lift. I thought we were going on the lower mountain. I took her all the way to the top. Like, we didn't even go to the bunny slope. So we just got right on going up. And Sylvia was freaking out. She's like, I can't do this. We're going so high. Like, what are we going to do? I can't let go of this lift. Well, the first thing that I told her was, girl, when we get to the top of the mountain, the end of this lift, like, you stay in your lane. You go that way. I'm going this way. Like, don't try to bring me down with you. Like, keep your distance. Then I felt bad because I was being insensitive. And being the Christian that I am, I said, listen, this is what we're going to do. When we get to the top of the mountain, you're going to let go and you're going to let God. I really told her that. It did not work out well at all. She was like, I think I broke my neck. And I thought she did. Like, it was a bad tumble off that lift. Let go and let God. It sounds good. But when you're in a difficult season, sometimes that's not what you want to hear, right? So I was struggling. Like, how do you tackle this subject? And I thought back of when I was in Bible college and I had a professor tell us, he's like, preachers, there's going to be times in life that are tough. And a congregation's going to be looking at you. And when life gets rough, you just got to fake it till you make it. So if you're having a tough time right now, just fake it till you make it. That sounds good. But when you're in the middle of a difficult season, there are some situations that are impossible to pretend like everything is okay, right? Can we talk for real this morning? So what do you do as followers of Jesus when life gets tough? What do you do when you know that God is good, but life is not? What do you do? What do you do when you want to believe the goodness of God, but what you see with your eyes and what you're experiencing is much different than what you believe in your heart? What do you do when your faith is shaken to the core and you find yourself wrestling with doubts and questioning what's true? It was over 3 years ago now that Sylvia and I lost one of our very, very best friends to cancer. She was only 34 years old. When she passed away, she left behind a 5-year-old son and an awesome, awesome guy as her husband. And during that season, man, we did everything that we knew to do to get a hold of God. Every Monday, there was over 2,000 people that would fast and pray, seeking God for her healing. And it didn't come. And she passed away from cancer. Why? Like, how do you explain that? Where was God in all of that? If we can be honest this morning, we all experience situations in life where you ask the question, where is God? What do you do when you know that God is good, but life is not? I want to look at the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to look at how Scripture approaches this topic. Habakkuk was an Old Testament minor prophet. And he lived roughly 600 years before Jesus Christ was even born. And he was a very different prophet than all the others. See, typically prophets, they would speak to people on behalf of God. But Habakkuk was different. Habakkuk spoke to God on behalf of people. He spoke to God on behalf of people because he didn't like what was going on in his life at that time. He was frustrated with the way that things were going. He didn't understand what God was up to. And so he was a little different of a prophet in that he spoke to God on behalf of what the people were feeling. See, he was upset because Judah had been successful. They had been blessed, but now they were experiencing a season of corruption. They were experiencing a season of deception. And no longer were they prospering, but they were hurting. They were in poverty. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. And Habakkuk was frustrated. And literally, Habakkuk just unleashes on God. Over 2,600 years ago, Habakkuk is asking the same very question that we are tackling today. God, where are you? Like, this is a bad situation. Where are you? I know you could do something about this. I know you could, but you're not. Why? Where are you? Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Habakkuk says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you don't listen? How long do I have to cry out to you that there is violence and you don't save us? Why do you make me look at injustice? God, why are you tolerating all of this wrongdoing?" In other words, Habakkuk's like, God, you're better than this. Like, come on. You're better than this. Like, wake up. Do you see what I'm going through down here? Like, God, things are getting bad. Now would be a really good time for you to show up. Like, God, now's a really good time for you to jump into the story. Like, change things. Can we be, let's just be honest. Like, raise your hand if you've ever thought in your head, like, if I was God, I would be doing things a lot different right now. Is anyone? The rest of you are liars. The rest of you are liars. He's like, God, this is bad. I know you're good. Where are you? Like, there's a huge disconnect here. I love this passage of scripture. Habakkuk is so raw. He's being so real with God. And actually, it's refreshing to me. It's refreshing to know that Habakkuk, who actually made it into the pages of the Bible, is struggling with the same question. He's struggling with the same doubt. He's struggling with the same fear that I struggle with when I'm in difficult seasons. I love how raw and how real he is. And if we look at his name, the name Habakkuk, like, it literally tells the entire story. If you look at the name Habakkuk, it literally tells my story, if I was honest with you today. The name Habakkuk, it probably tells some of your story this morning. Because the name Habakkuk, it literally means to embrace and to wrestle. Embrace and wrestle. And as you read through the book of Habakkuk, you see that he's doing everything that he can to embrace the God that he knows. But because what he sees with his eyes doesn't line up with what he believes in his heart, guess what? He's trying to embrace, but he's wrestling. He's wrestling with God. Embrace and wrestle. Embrace and wrestle. So what do you do when you're in difficult seasons in life? We're going to look at the book of Habakkuk and look at what Scripture says. The first thing that you do when you know God is good and life is not, you don't walk away from God. Don't walk away from God. Pretty simple, pretty basic. Because there's hurt and doubt and questions that you're experiencing. And oftentimes that hurt and those questions and those doubt will drive you away from God. Don't run away from God. And it's my first point simply because as humans, when we get hurt, when there's disappointment, when there's something that happens that literally rocks your world, it's our automatic response. Like, it's the way we were made. Our default is to run away from the thing that hurt us. Like, we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to serve God. We're trying to raise our family in church, but a difficult season happens and it hurts. It shakes our core, and our default, our common automatic response is to run from the thing that hurt us. So the first point is simply don't run away from God. Can I tell you that it's okay to wrestle with God? Can I tell you that it's okay to ask God the tough questions? Can I tell you that it's okay to question what God is doing in your life? Like I used to think that it was bad for me to question God. I'll go a step further. I used to think that it was actually a sin. It was sinful of me to question the authority and wisdom of Almighty God. But let me set some of you free this morning. God is okay with your questions. God is okay with your doubt. God is okay with your frustration. You know how I know he's okay? You read the book of Jeremiah, you read the book of Lamentations. Those books are filled from the beginning to the end of people questioning God, asking why they're in the situation that they're in, wondering where God is in the midst of all the chaos. God can handle your questions. You know how I know? Even on the cross, when Jesus was hanging there, when God looked away, what did Jesus do? He asked God, "Why are you forsaking me?" God can handle our questions. Don't walk away from God with your questions. In fact, I'll say it this way. Let your questions, let your hurt, let your pain, let your doubt, let it actually lead you to God instead of away from God. He's okay. He's okay with your questions. You can wrestle with God for as long as you need. Wrestle, ask the questions, wrestle with God as long as you need. The name of Habakkuk means wrestle, but don't forget to embrace. In the difficult seasons in life, wrestle all you want, but don't forget to embrace who God is. He is still good. Embrace that God still has a plan. Embrace that God sent his one and only son to save you and I. Embrace the fact that you don't understand what's going on, and it sucks, and it hurts, but just maybe, God has a bigger plan than any of us understands. You embrace and you wrestle. Look at what James says about it. It's coming up on the screen. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Like what? Pure joy in difficult seasons? This isn't making sense. But he goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let that perseverance finish. Everyone say finish. Let perseverance finish its work. Don't quit. Don't walk away. Don't throw in the towel. Let perseverance finish its work. Why? So that you can be mature. So that you can be complete. So that you can lack nothing. That's how James puts it. Let the testing of your faith consider it pure joy, because there's a purpose. There's a purpose in your pain. What do we do in difficult times? We don't quit. We don't walk away. Because the way that we truly know God is not just living on the mountaintops when things are good. But you truly get to know the faithfulness of God when you're in the valley. When you're in the valley. That's why David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because I know that God is with me. We can celebrate all we want on the mountaintop, but we experience the ever-present presence of God when we're walking through the valley. When we're walking through the valley. If you're married, you know this better than anyone. I get to know my wife better in our disagreements than when everything is going good. We had one last night. We got to know each other really good. But we're better now. Thank you, Jesus. I get to know her better in our disagreements than when everything is good. And it's the same with God. We celebrate on the mountaintops, but we can feel and we get to know the presence of God when we're walking through the valley. What did Habakkuk do? He wrestled and he embraced. Look at verse 12. You can see as he's trying to embrace, even though he doesn't understand and he's wrestling, but he's trying to embrace. Verse 12 says, Lord, are you not from everlasting? I'm embracing you. God, you're my God. You're my Holy One. You'll never die. He's embracing. But God, what the heck? You've appointed our enemies to execute judgment on us. I'm wrestling. My God, I'm embracing you, but you've ordained them to punish us, and I'm wrestling with that. God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. I love you. I'm embracing you, God. But why are you silent when the wicked is swallowing us up, even the more righteous than ourselves? God, I'm trying to embrace, but I'm wrestling with where I'm at. What do? The first, we don't walk away from God. And secondly, when we're having difficult seasons, we wait on God. We wait on God. I hate waiting. I hate waiting. I especially hate waiting when I'm hungry. We have a backpack that we carry everywhere for Bubba. Luca Paul, he's 18 months now. Luca's like his dad. He gets angry when he's hungry. So in that backpack, we have snacks for Luca. But in that backpack, my wife also packs snacks for me. Because I hate waiting. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. I hate waiting, but what do? When we know God is good and life is not, we wait on God and we continue to wait and we continue to wait until we see the faithfulness of God. Some of you today, if we were real and honest with each other, that's where you're at. You're in the waiting and you're praying. And what you see with your eyes is not what you believe in your heart. In fact, it's the opposite. And so you're in the waiting. God, where are you? When are you going to hear the cry of my heart? God, when are you going to give me that job? God, when are you going to heal me of that sickness? You're in the waiting. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. It says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. I like this next part. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. I love the Living Bible translation of this same verse. Let me read it to you. This is what it says. God says, but the things that I plan won't happen right away. God says, slowly, steadily, surely as the time approaches is when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. At the appointed time, God will deliver. At the appointed time, God will deliver. I love that. At the appointed time, God will show up. Where are you? At the appointed time, God will answer your prayer. God, I've been in this season forever, but at the appointed time, God will perfect his perfect will in your life at the appointed time. Get this, if it's not God's time, you can't force it. No matter what you do, if it's not God's time, you can't force it. But when it is God's time, nothing can stop it. Oh, come on. I said when it is God's time, nothing can stop his perfect will from being fulfilled in your life. And scripture says, though it linger, I will wait for it. His timing is perfect. It may seem like it's taking forever, but can we commit this morning, regardless of what season you're in, that we are going to wait for the promises of God? He wrestled and he embraced. Don't walk away. Stay in the waiting zone. Ask all the questions you want. Wrestle with God all that you want, but don't forget to embrace. Don't forget to embrace. Christine Kane says, God's delays are not God's denials. People get a lot more excited when she says that, but I'll say it again. God's delays are not God's denial. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Though I linger, I will wait. And at the appointed time, God's perfect time, it will happen. My last point, when you see with your eyes doesn't match with what you believe in your heart, what do? You simply remember. You simply remember. I love watching Habakkuk and watching him navigate through all the frustrations and doubts towards God. You see him questioning. You see that he's trying to believe, but you also see all the anger about all the injustice that's taking place around him and all the pain of the people. But at the end of chapter 2 of Habakkuk, he says something. His perspective begins to change. At the end of chapter 2, he says these words, "But the Lord is in his holy temple." But the Lord is in his holy temple. He says, nothing has changed. Life still sucks. The season is still difficult, but God is still on the throne. It's as if he's reminding himself that despite everything that's going on, despite everything that he sees with his eyes, he's reminding himself that God is still on the throne. What do? When you know that God is good, but life is tough, you remember that God is still on the throne. If you haven't read the book of Habakkuk, you should. It's only 3 chapters, and the chapters are really short. So I like to read small, short books of the Bible because it makes me feel good about my Bible reading plan. So give it a shot. Thank you. But as you read the book of Habakkuk and the story, it's at this point in time when Habakkuk remembers and he actually pens the word, but God is still on the throne, that his perspective begins to change. It's at this point that the whole tone of the story begins to change. See, up until this point, you've heard all the fear. Up to this point, you've heard all the frustration, all the anger. You've heard all the doubt. God, where are you in all of this? But when he remembers who God is and that he's still on the throne, his perspective begins to change. And all of a sudden, in the voice of Habakkuk, nothing has changed. The story, the circumstances, still the same. But all of a sudden, from Habakkuk's voice, you start hearing hope. His perspective changed, and all of a sudden, you begin to hear faith. Even when nothing had changed, he was still in the same season, but the only thing that had changed was his perspective. God hadn't brought deliverance. God hadn't heard their cry and showed up to restore the nation. He didn't bring deliverance. But Habakkuk's perspective changed when he remembered who God is and where he was, that he's still on the throne. Can I tell you that God is still on the throne? Josh, it's bad. I don't doubt that. But God is still on the throne. Josh, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here. And I don't know either. But I know that God is still on the throne. And it's here in the story that Habakkuk he begins to praise God, not for what God had done, because he hadn't done anything yet. Situation hadn't changed. But it's here in the story that Habakkuk's perspective changes. And he began to focus not on the what, but he began to praise God for who he is. He took his eyes off the what. He took his eyes off what was happening around him. He took his eyes off of what he was needing God to do. He took his eyes off the what that was occurring to all of his people, and he began to focus on who God is. And things began to shift. We praise God, not for what he can do, but we praise God for who he is. We praise him for who he is. Remember, in your difficult season, who God is. You can wrestle, but don't forget to embrace who God is, and that he is still on the throne, and that all things work together for good. Remember that he's the King of all kings, that he's the Lord of all lords, that he's for you and he's not against you. When we begin to focus on the who, our perspective changes. Things begin to change. Habakkuk, as he begins to go on in the story, verse 2, it's not on the screen, but he says, God, I've heard your fame. I stand in all of your deeds. Catch this. He says, repeat them in our day. He's like, God, I remember. And I remember what you did back then. And just like we sang today, he says, God, would you do it again? Would you do it again? Like this mountain that I'm facing right here, I remember when you've moved it in the past. So will you do it again? God, I remember when I thought there was no way out and you made a way. So would you do it again? What do? When you know God is good, but life is bad, you remember. You remember. What do you do when you get the bad news from the doctor? What do you do when you lose that job? What do you do when your marriage is failing? You remember the who. Habakkuk, if you read the story, he mentions a couple places. And if you're just reading, you would glance over them thinking that they don't have any importance. But he mentions Teman and Mount Paran. Teman and Mount Paran. And if you study those places, you realize that those places are pretty significant to Habakkuk. Because when his people were in bondage, God delivered them. He brought them out and he put them in those two locations. You see what he's doing here? He's remembering what God had done. And he mentions the past miracles that God had performed in his life. God, I remember when you destroyed our enemy. We remember. Look at verse 17. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Like, nothing's changed. It's still a difficult season. But despite all that, look at his next words. Yet I will rejoice. He chooses faith. He chooses praise. He chooses to focus on the who and not the what. Yet I will rejoice. Why? Because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And we know that perseverance must finish the work. Why? So that we can be mature. So that God can complete us. And so that we can live a place in our life where we are lacking nothing. That's the will of God. That's the heart of God for you and I. Would you bow your heads? What do you do when we know God is good and life is not? We're not going to walk away from God. We're going to wait. Keep on waiting. We're going to remember. There are some of you there, me included, that you go through seasons in life that are challenging. They shake you to the core. And I just wonder as a church if we can commit that we're going to wait on God, that we're not going to walk away. And we're going to remember who He is despite what's going on. There are some here this morning. We talk about remembering God and we talk about knowing God in the valley, but maybe you don't even know God. Maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe you're at a place in life where you realize that you need some help. And there's no greater help than Jesus Christ. And with every head bowed, no one looking around, I want to give you the opportunity. If you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your moment. If you need a fresh start in your life, this is your moment. If you're in the valley and feel alone and feel like there's no way out, I want to introduce you to a way maker. God is here and He's waiting to show up in your life. While no one's looking around, if that's you, say, Josh, I need a fresh start. I need Jesus in my life. I need to accept Him as my Savior. We just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come up front. I'm going to pray for you. Say, Josh, that's me. It's awesome. I see that hand, man. I see that hand in the back. Good. See that hand. Can you pray with me, everyone? Everyone prays together. No one prays alone. God, we thank you. Come on, say, God, we thank you for loving me so much that you sent your only son for me. I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and give me a fresh start with you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, come on, let's give it.